On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk. We are here. I'm in the studio. Chick Hernandez is in the studio.
What up?
Always the legend, chilling on the Lazy Boy. Tandler, what's going on, dude?
Hey, doing great.
There's a lot to discuss, and there's kind of not a lot to discuss at the same time.
That's clear.
Explain what I mean. Everybody wants a free agency update. We don't have a free agency update at this minute. Chick just did a monster tease in our latest episode of Redskins 100, where he said, you expect to hear something on Junior Gallette by Friday afternoon?
Absolutely. In the next 24 hours. So by Friday afternoon, I think Junior will either be a Redskin or somewhere else.
Tandler, do we have to do an emergency pod on that? Tell you what, everybody respond on Twitter. Tell us what you think. If we need one, you let us know. If we don't, let us know. JP Finley, NBCS, Tandler, NBCS. Those are our Twitter handles. Outside of that, I think Hankins is going to continue to kind of linger. I don't think we're going to get a definitive word on that for a little while. Tandler, what say you?
Yeah, I think, he's taken his time. And you know what? Just looking back at last year, it worked for him last year. You had big linemen that the Redskins had some degree of interest in with him, Dontari Poe, and Benny Logan.
Yep.
They all waited until into April before they got with teams. Now, Poe and Logan just were able to get one-year deals, Atlanta and Kansas City, respectively. But Hankins was able to land a three-year deal. Now, it only lasted a year for him, so they all ended up in the same boat. But so I think waiting worked for him last year, though, and I think he's going to do it again this year.
Well, and we'll see what happens. Benny Logan's still out there, and I know that the Redskins are interested. They were interested last year. I'm not sure that they'll bring him in. I think they're probably waiting. I'm guessing, this is speculative, if there's not an actual written contractual offer out there for Hankins, there is a framework that has been proposed. I think that much is certain.
I think so, too. And I don't often say this, but I like the way the Redskins have maneuvered here this season. They haven't jumped the gun. You know, in years past, they've made some ridiculous signings. Oh, going for the last 15 years.
Sure. Yeah, going back a ways.
Going back a ways. I like the patience they have shown. I know you wrote about patience versus.
Are they being cheap or are they being patient?
Right. I think patience, from my angle, it looks like patience, and I think that they've gone about it the right way. And I think they've made that known to the particular players as well, that they're being patient. And so, and they're telling guys, if you want to go look, but here's what we're ready to do. And you know, get it done. So
well, and I think what the Skins would point to as their, hey, we believe in this, what we're doing, is what happened with Zach Brown. And I think they had their number that they were comfortable with. They told Zach what it was. He was able to go to the free agent market, and he decided the best play was at home with the Skins. I think some of that, I don't know that you can count on that with every player, because Zach had played with the Skins. He liked it here. And B. Mitch said, you know, this is home for him. So maybe he just wanted to stay in the area. So you don't necessarily have that advantage with every player, but I think the Skins are going to stick to their numbers. Tandler, and it kind of feeds into something you wrote. Before we get to, I want you to explain why fans want the team to just pay up for everybody. You can't do that. Before Tandler goes, we're going to have good buddy Dave Zangaro is going to join us on the back end of this podcast. We just had Nui Scruggs came on to talk to us about what's going on in Dallas. Zangaro is going to tell us what's going on with the Eagles, who look like they've already made a Super Bowl winning team much better. The Eagles are just kicking ass all over the place, and I know that's painful for a lot of Redskins fans to hear. Okay, Tandler, I want you to explain why the Redskins can't just go out and pay the money for everybody.
Well, because top line is because of the salary cap. And yes, it's a lot of money, and you can say, well, you know, let's just say, I don't know if these numbers are factual, let's just say Hankins wants $9 million a year. The Redskins think he's worth a max of $7 million. And, you know, you come up with evaluation of the player about, you know, what he's done, how he fits your scheme, how he fits your needs. And in this case, very important alternatives in the draft. Redskins could have two very good linemen to pick from. They pick number 13, maybe even more than that, depending how they rate some of these guys. So, you know, you can't say, okay, well, let's just go that extra $2 million, because over a four-year deal, that's $8 million. And then, you know, you pay an extra $1.5 million to this guy over 3 years. That's $4.5 million. You know, you start throwing this money around, and pretty soon it adds up to some real money. Is it significant against the salary cap? So, you know, and I've told people, you know, I've said again and again, can the Redskins afford to sign Honey Badger? Could they afford to sign Hankins? The answer is yes. They could renegotiate deals. They could do a lot of different things. But it leads to trouble down the road. They do not want to have trouble down the road, a bunch of guys where you have to cut and eat some dead cap, or, you know, you're in trouble. So you can't just pay everybody what they want. It just adds up.
All right. And, I mean, honestly, that sounds like something your grandmother would tell you. You can't just pay for everything you want. You know what I mean? Like, you're a kid, you go to the mall, and you want sneakers and a shirt and some new shorts and whatever the hell, and you can't always buy everything. Are you basically a grandmother telling me I can't buy everything I want at the mall, Taylor?
Yes, because you'll end up at some point that credit card bill becomes due. It will eat up everything, eat up all of your income. So just got to be careful. Now, listen, just real quick, let me finish this up at this point. Now, if you're close to being a legit playoff/Super Bowl contender, then I might advocate getting the one, do what you have to do to get the one or two guys.
Like
you
the
need
Vikings adding Sheldon Richardson.
Yes.
Right? Like the Eagles adding Michael Bennett.
Right.
You know,
and then you do what you got to do to get it.
The Packers adding Muhammad Wilkerson. You want me to keep going?
Yeah. No, I think we got the idea.
All right.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Rich Tandler. Thank you.
Thank you for being you and your lazy boy.
Let's it's Chick's turn.
What?
The three of us were kind of, before we started recording, we're kicking around. There's a lot of smoke around Doug Williams not knowing about the Alex Smith trade. We all are kind of dismissive of the consternation surrounding that. In Doug Williams' introductory press conference, he said, I don't want to be the GM. I want to evaluate personnel. So I use that as my baseline in my conversations with Doug and what he does and what he wants to do. But as we were having this, Chick said, I want to squash some hogwash. And I thought it was a good line. And I want to give you the opportunity to squash some hogwash, as you said.
Well, you know, there's been some articles, and the Post wrote an article about just the machinations of the deal for Alex Smith and the timeline. And the story goes that Bruce Allen called Doug Williams or texted him and said the night before the deal was going to be announced, the night before they agreed, and said, don't answer your phone, be in the office in the morning. And it made it sound like, and a lot of people took it like that Doug Williams was not involved in the decision-making at all as far as Alex Smith coming to the Redskins, which is hogwash, because what Doug Williams and his staff did was basically tell Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder, here is who we need at quarterback. And they gave them a list of quarterbacks. At the top of that list was Alex Smith. And so you do all your due diligence, you do all your homework, and you present it to the guy who ultimately is going to make the deal. That is Bruce Allen. And that's what they did. And then Bruce Allen, for whatever reason, says, all right, don't answer your phone, and I'll talk to you in the morning. And in the morning he says, we got Alex Smith. There's no smoke there. You know, we want to look at it because we've seen the stuff that's gone on in this organization before. There's no smoke there. It is Bruce Allen being Bruce Allen. Doug Williams did what he was supposed to do in his work capacity, and they got, and I'm on record as saying, they got the best possible solution to losing Kirk Cousins. Simple as that.
Yeah. All right. I'm with you, Chick. I want to add two things. Jay Gruden found out the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Gruden gave his evaluation. Jay Gruden said, I'd love to have Alex Smith. He's under contract. I don't think we can get him. And then Jay Gruden found out they had traded for him. And I don't think anybody's questioning Jay Gruden's role in the organization.
Correct.
The other thing I would add is Bruce suffers from an antiquated notion that you can keep things from the media. Bruce hates leaks.
No question.
And he does absolutely everything he can to mitigate leaks coming out of Redskins Park.
That's why we don't talk a whole lot.
And that's why Bruce told everybody to turn off their phone and we'll talk in the morning, is because he didn't want that story getting out that night.
Absolutely.
The problem was the folks in Kansas City, there's a whole bunch of media folks out there, and
Bam.
They broke this story.
Absolutely.
And that's how this all came to be. I think you did a great job there, Chick, kind of explaining all that.
I appreciate it.
Sandler, is there something to add, sir?
Yeah, no, just, Bruce Allen is more, he's the deal maker. He's going to be the guy on the phone on draft day. If they want to move up, move down, and he'll put it out to the room in the draft room there. But, he's going to be the guy doing that. And I think, if you look at the trades they've made, I go back to 2011, where they moved back, and ended up with didn't have a second and third round pick going in, and came out with a pretty good haul of picks that were some useful players for a while, including Ryan Kerrigan. So I think that he, let him do what he can do. Am I confident with him doing some things? No. But is it, should he be involved with nothing? No.
Well, and here's what I'll add, Tandler, is people can have beef with Bruce, and that's fine. You want to question the record. You want to question personnel moves. Go for it. That's what fans are supposed to do, man. That's part of being a sports fan, is questioning shit and having problems when moves go awry. The structure is normal. People scream that the Redskins structure isn't normal. Let me tell you two organizations. Howie Roseman in Philadelphia is the executive vice president of football operations. And then there's a whole bunch of people below him. Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville is the executive vice president of football operations. Then there is a ton of people below him. It's not abnormal to not truly name somebody a general manager. And I'd argue that when Scott McLuhan was in town, Bruce was still in charge. And I think people have gotten confused by what was happening even then.
So, yeah, I agree. I mean, Scott wanted, he wanted to evaluate talent. That was the main thing he wanted to do. He wasn't big in contracts, which of course
Schaefer handles all the contracts.
Is Eric Schaefer to do that. And so, it's kind of the duties are pretty well defined and divided. And the guy who generally will go and pick up the phone to make a trade is Bruce Allen.
Yeah. All right. Two more topics. One is fun. One is football. What do you want next, Chick?
Fun.
All right. Fun. Podcast party. 1 week. We're recording this on Thursday, March 22nd. So 1 week from today, March 29th, Penn Commons. I can't believe how legitimate this thing has grown.
It's going. It's getting huge.
Because here's the thing, man. This is just a goofy podcast that I used to record on my phone. And Taylor and I used to sit in the car and record these, and we have a very legitimate listenership now, and the numbers, guys, we've already broken our best month record halfway through this month, and the numbers are getting very serious. And here, I can tell the numbers are getting serious because the salespeople are starting to get very interested in what's going on. All of a sudden, they want to know what my guy Mitesh is like. What kind of segments can we do consistently?
Oh, and boy.
So, Taylor, start thinking. I don't know what the hell we do consistently. We run our mouths. But I wanted to read a couple reviews. People are trying to get the reviews to 200. If you get us to 200 by the party, I'll do something outrageous. I don't know what it'll be. My wife's going to be there, so she'll probably limit how outrageous I get, but I'll do something. I wanted to read this one, though. This is from J.R. Espinosa, who's a Redskins fan for life. Says he's a listener from Delano, California. Please give a shout-out to the Bakersfield Washington Redskins fan club here on the West Coast. All right, Bakersfield, we are representing you. He wants to know, he really wishes he could be at the party, but he won't. Have fun and drink beer. And this review is for the push to 200. Taylor, I have an idea, and you know how I operate. I'm just going to tell you what it is, and you're going to have to deal with it. There's a ton of listeners outside of the D.C. area, outside of the greater DMV area, that aren't going to be able to come to the podcast party. So we're going to bring the podcast party to them. We already talked about it. We're going to record a live party podcast during the party where everybody there gets to come up and give us their first round pick prediction. And if they have a zing, they can drop a zing face to face. Here's what we're going to do. I'm also going to put my Facebook Live up while we record the live podcast party. So anybody who's not there in person can watch on Facebook and be part of it. And if you got a good prediction, you got a good zing, we'll work that into the podcast as well. Taylor, what do you think?
Sure. Doesn't sound like it involves me doing anything that makes me look like an idiot. So I'm fine.
That is the ultimate grumpy wet blanket answer.
Maybe we can come up with something.
No, that sounds like fun.
Hey, there it is. RT.
I think that's an excellent idea.
All right, good deal.
How much snow did you get, Rich?
I believe the official at Dulles, which I'm very close to, was 5.3. Looks about right.
How much did you get, Chick?
I don't have no idea, but it's already gone.
We didn't get very much. Yeah. I bet we got, like, on the street sticking, I bet it was, like, 3 inches.
Yeah, at most.
For the snowmageddon, the weather, people get so crazed
so
about the weather.
For it, yeah.
You know what I bought for my blizzard preparations?
I don't know.
I bought beer, candy, and a sled, and some firewood.
By the way, speaking of weather, comedian Byron Allen.
Oh, I don't know where you're headed.
You remember him?
No.
Do you remember Byron Allen, Rich?
No.
My God, you people. What is wrong with you?
I hate the way mothers give you whoopings, right? You know how they give you whoopings? They slap you, right? And in between each slap, they throw in a word. It's like, don't ever do that again.
He was on TV shows. Anyway, comedian Byron Allen bought the Weather Channel for $300 million. That is a comedian, ladies and gentlemen.
Good work if you can get it.
But it makes no sense now that neither one of you know who the hell he is. That is ridiculous. Listeners know who Byron Allen is.
Listeners, if you know who Byron Allen is, tweet at Chick at NBCS, because I don't think you do.
Come on.
It is time to go to Zangaro. We're going to find out what's going on in Philadelphia, because it seems like they're ready to kick more ass, and Redskins fans aren't going to like that. Real quick announcement. This is a, Taylor, I don't know if I've told you this, and I don't know what the hell we're going to do with the podcast while this happens. Mount Rushmore listener, the Redskins talk Mount Rushmore, Danny Frank, has gotten me tickets to Augusta National.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm going to the Masters, baby, and they ain't kicking me out. I'm going to behave.
Well, yeah, you better behave.
Dude, that place, I'll be an altar boy.
I worked there for 3 years at the CBS station, covered the event, okay? I was, when I left, the most popular person on TV. Definitely sports.
Still are, dude.
Not for you. I went back in 2008, after Tiger's fire hydrant, to cover the event. And I went as a fan and as a worker. And one of the days I went,
worker sounds weird.
And it sounds funny. I went in Thursday morning to watch a ceremonial tee off with Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player.
Right.
And they hold you at a gate until they let the gates open. And they keep warning you, do not run, do not run, do not run. Well, I was fast walking. I got nabbed.
They throw you out?
Didn't throw me out. The security guard comes, sir, come on over here. And literally, I'm like thinking to myself, but I'm Chick Hernandez. You should at least recognize. It's been a few years, but you should recognize me. So I stood next to the guy. He goes, we told you guys you shouldn't be running. I said, sir, I wasn't running. He goes, I wouldn't argue right now. I was like, all right. So I just stood there next to him, watching everybody pile up on the first tee. I'm like, this is crap. And then some guy walks by and goes, hey, Chick Hernandez. And the security guard looks at me, and it dawns on him who I am. And proceeds to say this. Oh, yeah, I remember you. 5 more minutes. Thanks so much, guy.
All right. The lesson here is to walk at a reasonable pace. Yeah,
don't get kicked out. Don't get too boozed up. You're gonna want to enjoy this. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't walk the course the first day,
I'm walking it.
Okay.
I'm walking.
You gotta walk it.
Don't worry. I got good plans.
Okay.
All right. Taylor, anything to add? We're gonna go to Zangaro.
Go to Zangaro.
Is that an island?
Here comes Dave Zangaro.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Key of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Launching one for the end zone. It's a jump ball and it's incomplete. And Brock was there. And time runs out.
This is the end of the game.
And for the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
All right, big thanks to our next guest, Dave Zangaro, joining us from Philadelphia. He is basically my counterpart up there for NBC Sports Philly. He is everywhere the birds are. And I saw you at the Super Bowl, dude, but you and I were on different planets work-wise because I had the Alex Smith trade go down and you had an actual game to cover. How are you, man?
I'm good. Yeah, that was a wild week, wasn't it? I remember where we were when that trade went down. You had to run away.
Yeah, dude, I was waiting in line for the damn roller coaster.
Yeah, it was wild. I remember you looking at your phone, and we both looked down, and I was like, oh, man, this poor guy's going to have to leave right now.
Yeah, and that was a cool party, it looked like.
I had a great time.
Yeah, I bet you did. But here's what I can tell you is I had a great time at the Super Bowl because I wasn't covering a game. I was just watching a wild offensive shootout.
Yeah, that was a wild game. I mean, it kind of feels like that whole week was a blur because I was so busy that week.
Dude, well, you had practices to cover. I hung out in the mall at Radio Row.
Yeah, it was a weird week. But then the game was incredible. Like, what an incredible game that was.
Yeah, that was.
And
I can't call it
Nick
like
Foles
the, yeah,
in a shootout against Tom Brady. Are you kidding me?
I can't call it like the best Super Bowl because for me, you got to play a little bit of defense. But it was an incredible one. I'll never forget it. But, dude, that week, so Alex Smith happened Tuesday night. That dominated all day Wednesday and all day Thursday. But once, like, Thursday night came around, I started to have a little bit of fun. There's fun to be had at the Super Bowl, dude. Let me tell you.
maybe when I go and the Eagles aren't playing in, I'll get to experience some of it.
I rolled with B. Mitch to the NFLPA party and then to the NFLPA after party, and we ended up hanging out with, like, Dak Prescott, Odell Beckham, Snoop Dogg, Jamie Foxx. It was rolling with B-Mitch was fun during Super Bowl. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, see, that's the key. B-Mitch knows where to go.
Yeah, dude. He gets a lot of doors open. We went to the Barstool party. We had some fun. All right.
You and Snoop Dogg have been hanging out since, right?
Dude, we text all the time. but, all right, let's talk about the offseason in Philadelphia. Last week, we talked about the Cowboys, so we're continuing kind of our NFC East update. The Eagles, I know we got to talk Michael Bennett, but what the hell are they going to do? You may disagree with me, but when they get to September, and if Nick Foles is still on that team, and you got the Super Bowl MVP on the bench, I see a problem.
Yeah, I mean, if he was a normal guy, maybe, but he's the most selfless guy ever, and this is why it's going to work. And the reason I think that the Eagles haven't been so quick to trade him is because obviously Carson Wentz is coming back from a pretty significant injury. So right now, I think the way they view Nick Foles is he's an incredible insurance policy.
Sure.
That doesn't mean they're not going to listen to offers, and they have. They've been listening to offers all offseason, and they should. But I think their mindset right now is if you want this quarterback, you really have to blow us away. And that didn't happen. And I think there's a few reasons for that. One is because, you know, a team can go out and sign a player. So a team goes out and signs, Sam Bradford. And they have to throw a lot of money at him to sign him, but they don't have to give anything up. They don't have to give any draft picks up. And the kind of draft picks the Eagles were asking for were significant. And I'm not sure if, even with that Super Bowl performance, that people are going to want to hitch their wagon to Nick Foles. Now, that doesn't mean that won't change in late August if someone goes down, kind of like a couple years ago in Minnesota when Bridgewater went down. So I think that, I mean, something like that could still happen.
Well, I guess we'll see. And I agree with you. And, dude, I don't know him like you know him. But, like, I think that Foles, Wentz, Sudfeld. I was on the field when people were trying to get Wentz to talk after the Super Bowl, and he didn't want to talk, and he said, this is Nick's moment. Like, those three have a legit relationship that you don't see all that often in the NFL. I think it helps that they're all young guys, you know, and they just won a damn Super Bowl. What I think is a problem is Carson week three has a bad game and throws two picks, and they lose to the Steelers, and – you know, what's the Philadelphia sports radio talk radio, WPI or whatever?
WIP.
WIP.
Yeah.
And you got every caller is like, ah, to hell with this guy. We want Foles. That's going to happen. Unless Wentz goes out and is an MVP again.
Well, that's possible too. But you have to wonder what he's going to be like. And this is a fair point, because you have to wonder what he's going to be when he comes back. Because I think it's pretty safe to say he's not going to be the exact same player he was when he left, because he's just not going to be as mobile, whether that's by physical limitation or by just trying to be cautious on a surgically repaired knee.
Right.
He's not going to be probably the incredible playmaking guy we saw last year.
And let me tell you, as somebody who saw a young quarterback that was a dazzling playmaker blow out his knee, it doesn't always come back as quick as you want.
Sure, sure. I think the difference between these two is this guy, he can stand in the pocket and still be an MVP.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that's kind of what they're going to rely on, at least in the beginning of this next season. But they know it's his team. There's no one trying to kid themselves. And the Eagles made such a great point of it. Every moment they got, even when Nick Foles was going on this run, even when they won the Super Bowl, they kept saying, this is Carson Wentz's team. When they took a team photo, the Super Bowl team photo, they lined up their players numerically. The only person who was out of order was Carson Wentz, because they stuck him right in the middle of the photo. They didn't try to hide it. In fact, they tried to promote it, that this is the franchise quarterback. No matter what Nick Foles does, it's still Carson Wentz's job. And I think that kind of making them put it out there, and they're making sure that Nick Foles was aware of that the entire time, I think that goes a long way. They've been really honest this whole time, and it should be Carson Wentz's job, because as good as Nick Foles was, there's a reason Carson Wentz probably would have won the MVP if he stayed healthy.
Right. All right, enough QBs. The Eagles' D-line was already dominant. Now you've added Michael Bennett and Haloti Ngata. What the hell's going on up there?
It's insane. And it looks like Chris Long is going to stick around, too, for this year.
I thought he was done.
No, he's sticking around.
Who are they going to cut? You're not going to carry 10 D linemen.
Well, here's their rotation right now, and it's pretty scary. They're going to start Brandon Graham and Michael Bennett at end. In the middle, you're going to start Fletcher Cox, Tim Jernigan. Then off the bench, you have Chris Long, Derek Barnett, Haloti Ngata. It's insane.
That's
it's
nuts.
It's going to be a really good rotation.
Yeah, Derek Barnett coming off the bench. How many sacks did he have as a rookie?
He had five, but
he had a couple important ones.
Yeah, a couple important ones, and then he made a huge play in the NFC Championship game, and he's only getting better.
I'm telling you, Barnett is Kerrigan. I really think those guys are – I know you're not allowed to compare a white guy and a black guy, but I think those players are very similar.
You know what? They're similar for like you see
just
them coming
super
around,
high motor guys, and they're going to get better throughout their career. And Kerrigan is certainly better than Barnett right now. Don't let me misconstrue that. I mean, Kerrigan's a consistent double digit sack guy, but I think Barnett will get there.
Because JPP got traded out of the division today, I did a top 10 ranking of the pass rushers in the NFC East, and Kerrigan's number one.
Agreed.
But then you know, five of the 10 on the list.
Our interior guys.
Play for the Eagles.
Right.
I mean,
and they're interior guys, which is remarkable.
Some of them, yeah. I mean, Fletcher Cox, the pressure he gets up the middle really kind of creates a lot of havoc, because so much, you know, so many of the great pass rushers in the league come off the edge.
Right.
So to
watch for my dude Anthony Lanier down here, though, man. In second half of the year, he really broke out, and he's got to figure out how to be an interior D lineman against the rush, but against the pass, that guy can get in the backfield. He has the body for it.
When you have a guy like that, it kind of creates so many more opportunities. And at the very least, they demand a double team, which creates opportunities for other people.
Yeah. All right, so is there anything up in Philly I'm forgetting?
Well, I mean, the Torrey Smith trade, it's significant in that, you know, he wasn't a great player for the Eagles last year, but he was a veteran and he got better.
And he's a great guy.
Oh, he is. He really made an impact in that locker room. So they've lost some people. They lost Torrey Smith. They lost Patrick Robinson, who came to the Eagles on a one-year prove-it deal. And then he earned a $20 million deal from it because he played great last year. And Trey Burton, the backup tight end, who's going to get a chance to start in Chicago. So the
a pretty famous backup tight end.
Yeah, exactly. And not a bad emergency quarterback either.
Yeah, there you go.
But, yeah, they've lost those guys. They lost backup tackle Bo Allen. They cut Vinnie Curry. So they're not it's not like they haven't lost anyone this offseason. But when you look at them, it's pretty comparable. And they're bringing back 21 of 22 starters from the Super Bowl season.
Damn.
Maybe 21 of 23 if you want to include the slot corner as a starter. But that's still pretty impressive.
There, you think they could repeat?
They could. I mean, it's really
repeating's
tough.
Hard,
it,
right?
It's hard for any team to do it, and honestly, it's a lot harder in the NFC right now than I think it would be for an AFC team.
What's your? I agree
NFC's
there.
A little tougher.
And the NFC West, man, there's a lots going on out there. What's your? And I understand how wildly early it is for this. What's your projected NFC East finish in 2018?
Okay. Give me a second to think about this. I think the Eagles are probably still going to win the division.
Who'd you have winning the division last year? The Giants?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
And I
so
was
did I.
Dead wrong about it. So maybe it's the opposite of whatever I'm saying here.
Right.
Yeah, no, I really liked the Giants going into last season. And then, man, that was an epic failure on their part and mine, I guess, too, by association.
less so much you.
Yeah. And I think the Eagles should win the division. And then from there, you would think Dallas and Washington have a shot. I mean, the Cowboys need to show me something because, you know, they're in a terrible spot, really. I mean, they have good players. They have what looks like a quarterback, but the way they've managed their salary cap over the last few years hasn't been good. And,
no,
and this
man.
Should be the time. I mean, with a young, cheap quarterback, this should be their time, but it's not the way they've structured all those deals.
Nope.
Not to have a guy like Dez Bryant command so much money right now and just not be the player he was or they thought he was going to be. They're a talented team, though, so you could see them having a slight bounce back year.
Especially with Zeke back the whole year.
Yeah. And Washington's kind of a tough one for me, too, because you have the new quarterback.
Yeah,
factor.
Who was Alex Smith, right.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, that's a really tough one. I think Kirk Cousins is a slightly better quarterback than Alex Smith, but that's not to say you can't plug an Alex Smith in and make him really successful by running the right system. So it's really hard to project Washington, I think, more than any other team because you're flipping quarterbacks and you're bringing in a guy who's shown he can be successful, but only – in the right circumstances. So they have to kind of create the right circumstance for him. And if they do that, I think they have a shot to maybe not to win the division. I don't think they're that caliber team, but maybe to push for a wild card, at least make it a little interesting.
Yeah, I think I want to see what happens between now and the draft. All right, Zangaro, how do people follow you and everything?
They go on the computers and they type in twitter.com. And then they go to my handle is dzangaro.
I think they know the first part about going to
okay,
Twitter.
Yeah.
Just tell them your handle, damn it.
I'm just trying to be thorough for the people.
Appreciate it.
Dzangaro NBCS and all my stuff's on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com.
All right. Always good to catch up, buddy. Are you going to owners meetings?
I am. I will be in Orlando shortly, getting away from the snow.
I will be in Orlando. Let's catch up down there, man.
Absolutely. Take care.
Okay.
Man.
Appreciate it, Dave. That's it, folks. We are done here. As always, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer, and I'll give you one next Thursday, March 29th at Penn Commons. Later.
Hoyer gets time, nobody open, and he's brought down for a loss. Sacked on the play by Michael Bennett.
I owe you a beer.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.